All right, welcome back to Sheep Farm and another weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. This will be released probably on Saturday, the 12th of November, if you're listening to this now, but we're recording it midweek. This is Tuesday night, 7:30. Thanks to everyone who listens, subscribes, and thanks to all those members who make the amount of shows we produce possible. Thanks for all the emails sent in, apart from Jacko, obviously, sending his usual 2,000 a day emails. I think he's cranked it up a bit now. If you want to contact us, please contact us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Don't leave messages or on Instagram or try and leave comments on YouTube or anywhere else. We get to 100% of all emails, so we don't read all the comments. So if you've got problems with your account, you can't log in, etc., etc., you need to email info@sheepfarm.co.uk, where our sexy customer service lady boy is looking after. He's normally sozzled under a table with a sucking a red wine cork, but I'm sure he'll be able to sort you all out. A few people email. I noticed there were a couple of messages. I just want to go through the format of the shows because I think some people were a bit unsure when we released stuff on YouTube. They were expecting, because they're a member, they're expecting a two-hour show. But anyway, we will release a minimum of 4 shows a month, roughly 2 hours plus long, the total shows. The full shows will be available at sheepfarm.co.uk. The format is simple. Members get 2 hours plus and the ability to download, and non-members get 1 hour plus. They're always on sheepfarm.co.uk. So even if they're not on Podomatic for some reason, or they're not on YouTube, we will put a trailer on YouTube and they'll be released on sheepfarm.co.uk. Not everyone's going to go on YouTube because of what we're talking about, subject matter, or whatever it might be. But all of them, unless we enter Communist China state rule, which we're not very far away from, in my opinion, they will all be on the website. Unless me and Chris are in a gulag somewhere. We released
in the gulag.
Yeah, see in the gulag. Yeah, everybody listening. If they go onto YouTube, they also automatically load up onto Rumble as well. So we are on Rumble. We have 4 types of shows. Mint Sauce Chronicle, which is just me and Chris having a chinwag weekly. We've got Meet the Flockers, which is the deep dives into certain entities and individuals. We've got the interviews and chats with guests. And we've got the Sheep Farm Raw, which from time to time we do on YouTube, and we'll still do one. I think we're going to do a Sheep Farm Raw in December on Nasser and Werner von Braun. It'll be the first Space Twats type of one we're going to do, which is a bit interesting. To be honest with you, I get a little bit bored. I get a little bit bored of doing politicians and things like that because that's not really what interests me or Chris. We get a little bit, it's a bit tedious seeing the doing exposés on obvious line bastards.
Necessary, though. Necessary.
Necessary stuff. I think, though, that you'll find that over the next few months, weeks and months, that we will be doing different things on our podcasts. And tonight, probably the first time, really, that this Mint Sauce Chronicles, I'm not going to go through loads of news articles because I don't watch the news. Chris watches it a bit, but I don't watch the news. I don't read newspapers. I've got no interest in social media and news feeds. Jacko, if you're listening. It all bores the life out of me.
But Elon Musk has bought Twitter fire. What are you going to do?
I tell you what. I've never even looked at
Twitter. I don't get the attraction at all.
No, I don't get the attraction of any of it personally.
Especially when you hear people saying,
Twitter,
I need to stop.
Any of it.
When you hear people saying, I need to stop using Twitter, I'm going to have a little break from it. Then you know there's a bit of a problem, don't you? Even people who like it need a break from it.
Yeah.
And you could say that about red wine, can't I?
Yeah. You could say that about red wine. What are you drinking tonight?
I've just got a cheap Malbec, but I've only got 3/4 of a bottle.
How long did that expensive one that guy sent you last?
That
you're not meant to drink it with a straw, you know?
No, I had it while we were doing that show, didn't I?
All right, so it polished off during that show?
Yeah, he got in touch with me after all my stress as well. I just hate being rude, and I felt like I was being rude.
Yeah, yeah. You normally are after a bottle of wine. This episode will not be released on YouTube, and it's probably a bit too tasty, so we'll put a trailer out on YouTube for this. There's a lot to go through, so we're going to go through tonight, so please check the description for what we'll be talking about in the show notes. because it's quite a lot of stuff. I don't know how long it's going to go on for. Just to give you another idea of what we do, we generally record these. I think the last one were about 2.5 hours. We generally record them in two halves. So we'll do the first one.
We started doing that recently.
We started doing that recently. The first one on Tuesday and the second one maybe Thursday. And then they're released on a Saturday. And if we've got any interviews, we'll probably do them on a Monday or a Wednesday. So, yeah, we're pretty throng, if you
just,
like.
Just quickly, Fatty, before you go on about the emails, I'm more than happy to get emails. I try and get back to a lot of them, but we get quite a lot. But if anyone's having trouble with their account due to the PayPal shenanigans,
yeah.
I siphle through them and I pick them out and answer them as quick as possible. I mean, I check them every day. If people send me videos, I do keep them. I don't obviously can't watch them all, but I do keep them, and I will go through them at some point, see what's there. And then if I get long ones, I tend to save them. I don't delete them. I save them, and I'll try and scoot through them at another time. But if I don't get back to you, it's not for any rudeness. I just can't answer every single one of them.
Well, ironically,
depends what
PayPal
I'm doing
thing,
at the time. Depends what I'm doing. Yeah,
the PayPal thing will go on because if you joined on a quarterly membership. In September, just before they turned us off, then that will have run out now. So I got a call from somebody called Linda, because for some reason I'd put my mobile number on there stupidly on customer services. But hi, Linda, we spoke earlier on. and she was a bit unsure on how to rejoin, so I told her to email Chris, etc. I'm a bit sure how to do that. So, yeah, there is still going to be... some PayPal things, and it's done on purpose. These people, these,
I mean, it's clearly when
corporate
you look
entities,
at the, when you look at it, I mean, it's clearly done on purpose, isn't it?
It's done on purpose to create chaos like what we're living through at this moment in time. Mm. And the chaos is going to continue. Mm. So, firstly, I want to start off. Chris has just watched a UK column episode, the latest one, Chris.
Yeah, I was just in my shed making some of my fabulous sculptures, Gaping Gobs on it. And I usually listen to some of them then. And I just saw that UK Column put a new one out about adverse reaction. So I just listened to that. And it was horrible. I mean, this group of actions, what happened on, they tried to go to Parliament and they delayed it. And then the next time they went, was no one there, so none of the, because he only gave him a week's notice, so no MPs turned up, or not all the people who had the reactions could go. Just horrible how they've been treated. And it's the woman who was on there, it's just horrible to listen to the hope in her voice that they're going to get recognised. I mean, I hope they do, but as we know, it was all planned from the beginning. So are the people who did it to them really going to help them?
No.
They're clearly not trying not to help them.
Well, to help them, they've got to admit that the arm spear was the cause.
It was an all the... Well, I mean, well, we know it was all a plan from the beginning, wasn't it?
Well, let's face it, right? Before all this started, there was the autism argument, which was quite blatant that if everybody who is jabbed who's got autism... Sorry, if everybody who's got autism has been jabbed, that answers that question. But they will never do that study.
They'll never do that study, yeah.
They'll never do that study... because they know the answer already. Likewise with this. So if they're not going to do that for children, they aren't going to do it for just somebody growing up somewhere.
When you think of that, there's these groups of people who've been down, and it's not even ever mentioned on national TV.
No.
Never.
They're still going on about anti-vaxxers.
And it happened to one of the BBC. Do you remember right at the beginning, that guy?
Yeah, right at the beginning,
guy.
Yeah.
That was brought up, that vanished into the ether. Yeah.
Well, I saw that guy. I think he was chairing the commission, a conservative guy, and he was. There was a guy talking to him, and I think I mentioned this on another Tory MP, and he said, "Haven't you seen the Oracle Films film about the damage?"
Well, that was the meeting after the second meeting. So what had happened was, the organised the first meeting, obviously they've all got a meeting in London, Westminster, and they've got a good number of MPs are going to go and a good number of the damaged people. And then they postponed it because of the Queen's death. But then they rearranged it and said, but they only gave them a week, so they couldn't organise everyone to get there. And what they did, I think, if I've got this right, I might have this wrong, their response to when they did do that meeting because they got 200,000 signatures, whatever, was to get Parliament together to talk about it. But they didn't talk about it. They just had that knobhead on and another knobhead. Yeah. That guy asked him about the, if you'd seen Odyssey. That was that one, I think, if I've got that right.
The Oracle films. Yeah. But that guy there, he actually stated, he said, the MP asked him, have you watched Oracle films? And this guy said, we have a lot of things sent to us about fake moon landings, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of conspiracy stories. I don't read them all. And this guy said, the other MP never stood up and said, well, that's got nothing to do with that question I asked you. That we're talking about this. Why haven't you watched that?
Yeah.
Just to give you some idea of what these people...
Is that just a stage show fire? I mean, that guy sounded like Tony Blair to me.
Yeah. Even if it isn't a stage show, right? Even if it's not... They know out of all them MPs, there will be one of them, maybe with a heart, who will stand up and talk about it. But the whole thing is just like all these stage shows. When they look into something, then they just cover it up, don't they? It's just a cover up. That's it. It's a commission. These commissions don't have to call in people for evidence. So it's not like when you have a coroner's meeting or you're in court. They don't have to do anything.
The woman also said on their fact that they're not doing an investigation into jibby jab damage because they're doing an investigation into all of the COVID thing, and that's going to be included in that. So they don't need to do one.
They don't need to do one, but these commissions that they run, these royal commissions, or even like the Warren Commission after JFK.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Just
they don't have to. It's not a legal entity.
No,
there is no investigation. It's just a so-called investigation where they talk about things, and there's nobody.
Listening to that, right? This is everything we've talked about for years, just times 10, right in front of your face.
Mm.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't. Even
sublimely obvious. I mean, these people, right? They aren't going to get any help off the parasite.
No.
They held their hand up.
Even the fact went to get for 120 grand. I mean,
well, even that, they're still getting rogered.
Yeah. What is that? If your life's been screwed,
nothing. It's nothing.
No.
And the amount of stress you're going to go through to get that. But
well, that woman was saying. Well, we had a lawyer on there, and he was saying, you've got to realise all these people are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Even if they see a jibby-jab clinic, they have a panic attack. Yeah. They can't go to a doctor because they have a panic attack because they're terrified.
That's the effect of the satanic hand that we're living under.
Fuck me. What world are we living in?
We're living in a world of trauma, pain, anguish, hell. That is all you can see.
Well, I'm not living in hell.
No, what I mean by that is, Chris, we're living in it, whether we like it or not. Mm. I don't mean to say we feel like we're in hell, but we are living through some weirdness that you can't even explain.
Like I said to you over there,
I was saying to my wife, "Go on."
I was saying to you over there, if this were a movie, it'd be exciting. But life didn't pan out like a movie. A movie's scrambling to an hour and a half, 2 hours. This is just a slow version of it, really. You know, where you're just watching piece by piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We had an email about somebody who says if you're a conspiracy theorist, explain
a woman called Jackie emailed us and said, there's a word, if someone says, are you a conspiracy theorist, say you're studying ponerology. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's a study of evil. I like that one.
Yeah, I do as well.
We're ponerologists.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
I've never heard that word before.
I've never heard that word, but I'll be using that. I like it. And ponerologist, the study of evil.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's same. Also, we had another email from somebody about the continuation of the Richard D. Hall
shenanigans.
Panorama thing, shenanigans. Which we're going to talk about later on, actually. Did a bit of digging around.
But somebody pointed out that I mean, you were banding a few ideas around this fight, and a guy called Josh emailed us, and he was saying, and I never thought about this, but it's pretty obvious that maybe they went after him because he was the only fella in England anyway. You saw some Americans doing it, but he got a microscope and actually people, and also if you think from the point,
what were you just going to say there? Before you cut yourself off, then
did I?
You got a microscope and what?
And actually examined the vials of the jibber jabs. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty intrusive on their game plan, I suppose. That could make them go after him over something else, not focusing on that one point as well.
Because they never even mentioned that, did they?
No. I mean, that's...
Didn't even mention that.
Yeah, it's bigger than... Surely
anything. All of
maybe
it.
Maybe that was the reason they set the dogs onto him.
Maybe. There's quite a lot of something. You've got a lot of followers. You'd obviously done a lot of digging around. I suppose we'll never know, really. What we will know is that prior to that program going out, they turned his YouTube channel off, which I don't think had any strikes. He'd not put anything else on until he put the history thing on with that guy who sadly passed away, Ross. Sad that. And the Johnny Cash thing when they were explaining digital currency. So I haven't put anything on. He said for something like 5 years or something daft. So nothing's gone on. Nothing's changed. All that stuff's been on there for up to 10 years. And they turned it off before that Panorama thing. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me that ain't linked. So the BBC have got the power with YouTube just and Google just to turn you off whenever they want to. Or the bits they can control at this moment in time. But and in the Daily Mail, there was a story in there that basically said we shouldn't be allowed to question history.
Yeah, that's what it said at the end, wasn't it?
Well, that's just Chinese communism. Any journalists out there,
I was actually
listening to this, that is dangerous talk from journalists. And you should be ashamed of yourselves, really, journalists, because the journalists... and I don't really know any journalists. I know I spoke to Henry, but I don't know him. But I'm sure he didn't want to write stuff like that. But people who were writing this stuff, and we're going to go into that in a bit, they're participating like the doctors did. This is meant to be a professional body of people who are reporting on things without doing any research whatsoever. None.
Just
no research.
Handed
a story or doing surface stories. They don't do any proper research on it. And,
you can tell because every
sign of the times.
And I think you are going to go into this later, but every newspaper or every news feed you look at is saying the same shit.
Same shit.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I was surprised to see that Richard Hall thing in the Daily Mail, to be fair. But then I suppose if it's on BBC, then they're basically doing a follow-up piece. But you read through the article and it slandered him about loads of stuff and he was this and that and this and that. Never mentioned he'd actually... put some vials under the microscope, which I think would be an interesting point to make. Maybe even if you said he's done it and he's a lunatic, why not bring it up? Why not bring that?
You've got two governing bodies, BBC with a $5 billion pound budget. You've got the Daily Mail that is probably owned by a massive conglomerate. Will be owned by a massive conglomerate, and then they're saying he's making money out of people by selling a few books on a market stall.
I know.
But written by journalists who were probably on 70 or 80 grand that earn more than he'll earn in probably 2 or 3 years. So I think this is the upside down inverted world we live in. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a journalist earning money, by the way. That's not what I'm saying. But what they're making out is that he's earning fortunes on the back of causing trauma to people who've already been through trauma. And yet, they're willing to put it back in the papers and drag it all back through. Let's face it, right? He's got quite a big following as Richard Diol. He has. But most of these people will not have heard of any of his work or any of his stuff, the people that are so-called been traumatised. Because he's not a mass media person. People who listen to it are people who are listening to what do we call it again? Ponerology stuff.
Well, yeah. Hopefully some people who are into that stuff watched that BBC and read that Daily Mail and thought, who's he? And just found his website, hopefully.
Well, that's the downside of all this trauma that they're putting on people. It causes a compelling event. Mm. And when people are put into that scenario, a lot of people do wake up or do start the process of looking around and waking up and thinking, well, that's not quite right. I saw on a BBC thread, we might have time to play it in this first hour, but of that Mariana Spring, and we're going to go into this, of a short video that she did, and I looked at all of the comments on that, and there were something like 1,100 or something, or 11,000, can't remember. I looked at a lot, can't look at 11,000, but I looked at a lot.
Yeah.
And all of them were slagging BBC off that I saw.
Well,
Every one of them.
I would hazard a guess that that is a data gathering tool.
Yeah.
So they can gauge. Do you remember, I mean, they used to get switched off comments like that. Maybe they left there so that they can gather the data of how people are reacting.
I don't think they're always that clever, me, Chris. I think they like us to think they're that clever, but I do think. Anyway, we'll move on from that one. I went into my local pharmacy the other day because we've got a clinic. We do stuff. We've got to get stuff on prescription, which are for like the vitamin drips and stuff like that. They've got to be
Rip
prescribed.
Johnny's.
But anyway, hey.
Rip Johnny's.
Yeah, them, yeah. So, yeah, it's not a clinic, really.
I apologise for that comment.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about sepsis a few weeks ago, and I went in there, there's a leaflet here, and it says there's a logo, so it's been designed by some NHS.
Just quickly, we were talking about sepsis before even the nonsense started.
Oh, yeah.
I remember us having a conversation about saying it were on the rise and it were everywhere. And you know, I mean,
wow,
yeah.
And so they've got questions on this leaflet, right? Mm. And on the back, upside down, there's answers which you'd never have read them. I've just noticed them now. First question is, how many people are dying with sepsis worldwide? Answer question one is estimated, so they don't even know or they don't want to tell you.
Right.
That 11 million people die each year.
Might as well 11 make it 11
million. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but double the previous estimate, Chris.
Where did they get the previous estimate?
I don't know. How many infections in the UK? 240,000 a year.
Couldn't they have made it multiple choice?
How many deaths occur in the UK? 48,000. Which is higher than Spain, France, and Canada. So what I'm trying to say is, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like the defibbed stuff, now they're pushing this. I wonder what could give you blood poisoning.
Well, yeah, if you had something like put into your blood system,
maybe injected into you, that were toxic.
Do you know that?
What could give you blood poisoning? Yeah,
that's actually on the side of ambulances. I've noticed. There's a little advert on the side of ambulances for sepsis. So look at this, right? The things that are advertised at the minute, right?
You're using the right word there, Chris.
Advertised.
Advertised. Yeah.
So what is advertised at the minute? Heart conditions. What's the one I would keep wanging on about?
Hormone.
Menopause. Yeah. That's advertised. Yeah. Now they're advertising sepsis, and they're also advertising that RSV, where children will have breathing difficulties.
Yeah.
And they're already making a vaccine for it. So those four things are overly advertised, aren't they?
Well, there's probably more than that. I mean,
well, there is more, but what I mean is they're the headlining ones at the moment.
The recent ones, yeah.
Yeah. They're all population reducers.
Yeah. Yes. All population reduce. Well, I mean, yeah, we'll move on anyway. I sent you a video of, I can't play it on here, but of Chris Eubank, senior, not junior.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
Very disturbing. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but I can't explain what he were doing, to be honest with you. Came in to do a talk. He does seminars and stuff like that and talks.
Is that where it was, Fatty? Was he doing a talk?
Yeah, he does like talks. I once saw him going back over 20 years ago in Bradford before a boxing match. So sometimes I have boxing matches, in small boxing matches, and then I'll have a guest speaker. I saw Nigel Bennett one and stuff. And Chris Eubank came in, and he's the only one who did a speech that I saw get booed off.
Why did he get booed off?
Well, right, is it a black tie dinner?
Right.
Right. Everybody's right. Spanner, yeah. Probably apart from me at that black tie dinner. And he's coming on and talking about integrity. Yeah? Right. Now, I'm sorry, if you're listening to him for half an hour talk about that, you're going to be the guy. Anyway.
Well, they just want to see a fight, don't they? And you've got this guy wanting on about integrity. I've always liked
that didn't shock me, though. No, but that didn't shock me. That word, you know, that's Chris Eubank at the end of the day. Yeah. Oddball. But what this one here, it looked like he'd been transformed into something else. It was quite sad to see, really.
He looked either, without being rude, drug-effed or mind-buzzed.
I mean, he's been through a lot of shit, hasn't he, recently, with his sons passing away last year, July last year, I think it was, of a sudden coincidentitis in Dubai.
He had a heart attack in Dubai, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. A 29-year-old, I think I said. You were. Fitting well up to that point.
But just basically, so Chris Eubank came out in kind of a dress kind of thing, and he just looked off his napper, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, like you said, his son's
like he were gurning. Yeah. But he was doing like a transvestite walk, wasn't he? Quite feminine.
I don't know what we're going on. I always quite like Chris Eubank, because at least he were a character.
Yeah.
There's no characters anymore, is there?
No, there ain't. Anyway, we're good as well. But if you like getting punched in the head. there's no doubt, though, that they're unravelling the very fabric of how we've lived or live over the last 100 years. I said to my missus the other day, or yesterday, and she was a bit shocked by what I said to her, but I said, what they're turning this world into, I don't want to be part of this life, world, whatever you want to call it. She was a bit shocked because she said, you want to be careful.
Sounds very depressing. Yeah.
It sounds depressing, but I didn't mean it that way. I'm a realist.
Can you explain that to her?
I'm not a negative or a or Mr. Positive. I'm a realist. And what I meant by that, I don't want to be part of their world, their life that they expect of us.
I hope you explained this to your missus.
Of course I did, yeah. And I said, there are lines in the sand, you know.
Yeah, we've talked about this from day one.
We've talked about this. There are things in the sand where that says, no, I've got to defend myself now, or there is no point in being a human anymore. I know it sounds a bit negative, but what I'm trying to say by that is that there comes a point where you've got to say, I've got to keep talking, I've got to keep saying stuff, I've got to keep getting this stuff out, because if we don't, why the fuck are we here? To be under communist Chinese rule?
Well, it's like that, do you know what? You just reminded me of something. It's like that statement that I remember reading when I was like 19 in Bhagavad Gita or a Krishna book or something, you know, that I'd never heard before. Mm. And it was that it sounds negative, but life is pain. It's pain every day. You wake up, you've got to get up when you don't want to get up to go somewhere where you don't really want to go. You stub your toe or you bang your, and it's a positive. Once you realise that life's difficult and it's not easy, like they try to sell you that it's easy and it's glorious, you know, and everything's fantastic. It's not, life's hard, but that's why we're here, to struggle a little bit and to...
apparently.
Get over these things, you know. But part of the nonsense that's going on is they're trying to sell you all the answers and they ain't got the answers.
Well, no, they're trying to sell
they're
you...
They're creating the fucking problems to start with.
The answers to their problems, which is set up and pre-designed to fail to start with, like LGBT.
And like just takes your concentration away from any form of spirituality whatsoever.
Yes, yeah.
Or any inward-looking or...
I mean, life won't... I'm not saying it wasn't great. Again, I sound like a right negative bastard, but...
No, but life is always hard, fat. It is. But it wasn't... That's what I'm trying to say. That's the fact of fucking life.
No, life is. No, but... Right. The effort that's put in to make your life hard, on the opposite side, if the effort by the parasites were put in not to make it hard, it wouldn't be hard.
No, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying... What I mean is... Even if we're living in utopia, life's hard, it's difficult. And, you know, that's the test that we're probably put here for. They're making it worse and fearful and horrible. That's the difference.
Yes.
You know, they're actually terrorizing you on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, look at the veil they hide behind LGBT, climate, global climate warming change, Black Lives Matter, the Divac nonsense, Russia, Ukraine, terrorists. You could go on and on and on and on, couldn't you, with all that stuff.
Terrorists have gone now, to be fair. There's too much they ain't got enough money to be buying those black ninja suits for ISIS.
Yeah, they've run out now. Hugo Boss has stopped making them. but they've definitely been stepping it up. People are more ill. People are dying younger. Population's dropping. I mean, we talked about this. Population's dropping. The replacement rate is falling through the floor. In 50 years, how many humans will actually be
on board? And this was a discussion before the nonsense.
Yes, this was discussed before.
We discussed this before.
So the jib-jab, right? Yeah, it is knocking people off. But I think it's more than that. This jib-jab is a sterilisation agent. Hence why that Sir John Bell actually said that on that interview where he said it won't sterilise everybody. He actually said that.
Oh, great then. Well done. Thanks, Mr. Bell.
Exactly. They know this, you know. The upside to them is it's going to knock people off as well. But these eugenicists, as we know, we've pointed out. I mean, you look at like the Stooges, like this Spring Woman. You've got that other lady that were on Unvaxxed. You've got Vine, O'Brien, all these people, all these stooges that think, are they part of the system? Do they know? I don't think all of them know.
But are they too far in that they can't actually go back out?
Yeah. Could they possibly be misled? Yes. The ones who are in that we know are the Machiavellian eugenicists. Know what the plan is, you know, Johnson, Mickey, Gates, Schwab, etc., etc. They know that the cull is happening and has been happening for a long time. Because if me and you, if some part spooks in from Huddersfield can work it out, and people listening, these people who are in control of it, they know. Even if they aren't part of it, right, even if they've just realised what's happening, they know.
Well, look at that, Fayette. Boris Johnson's father, as the research we did on him, written those books about eugenicism, talks openly about it. Then he's on I'm a Twat, Get Me Out of Here. And everyone's like, oh, he's such a lovable granddad figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And he wants your fucking kids dead.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But Boris is just a bumbling fool. Yeah, but he wants your fucking kids dead.
Where is he now? He's on, is it COP 27 or whatever it is? In Egypt, talking about global warming. I like where it's in Egypt, one of the warmest places on Earth.
Everyone from Europe's gone there and they're gone, fucking hell, it is global warming. Right, it's boiling here in Egypt.
It should be snowing at the minute.
In this sand dune.
So they're there in Egypt talking about flying in, talking about people shouldn't be using fossil dinosaur fuel.
Yeah.
And while they're still telling us that it's our fault, it's humans' fault. Well, I didn't invent oil. Yeah. I didn't invent plastic bags.
I refuse to feel guilty about anything.
I didn't invent mass farming. I still look out my window, right? And there's thousands, hundreds of acres of green fields with a few sheep and some cows in. Yeah. You know,
and also I saw
99% of it, Chris. 99% of it has got nothing in it.
And if I drive from Cambridge to Yorkshire to see you, there's nothing.
And this is why we know that they know, because nobody could make a plan as stupid as this and not know.
Yeah.
No one could. Because a shortage of food, you could grow carrots and cabbages and all them, and root vegetables and all them fields.
You could fill them with apple and pear trees.
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Corn on the cob, whatever that grows all right.
Whatever you want to grow, you could grow. If you really wanted to.
I mean, round by me, there's a park area, right? And it's like, you know, keep it as like brush and wilderness. Plant a load of fucking apple trees there.
Yeah.
Why not do that? Yeah. And instead of having food banks, people just wander through apple orchard and pick their own apples. Why not do that?
But if you think about it, right, you've got, say, Johnson going to COP 27, a lying bastard, proven liar, proven. There is no doubt that he's a liar even before he were a prime minister. Lied on his first Times newspaper story, right?
And in a journalistic world, apparently, if you lie, you're out.
I think you're in now. I think you're in now.
Well, you're next prime minister. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's got a royal bloodline. Yeah. His father's a eugenicist. Yeah. He's talked openly about eugenicists, being a eugenicist, or certainly into population control as Johnson.
Unfortunately, his father most worked for John D. Rockefeller. Don't know what a eugenicist is, to be fair.
His father worked for John D. Rockefeller III. His father worked for Planned Parenthood. His father worked on a document called Population Control.
And wrote
the Population Council for the UN.
Wrote numerous books about it.
That's including just one character.
Including one that was a virus that was going to wipe out the planet.
Yes, that's one character. One who's telling us that it's our fault for climate change while he flies in a private jet to Egypt.
And also,
this is the piss take that's happening in front of his eyes. I would explain it to someone this just today that all these obvious deceptions, our perception is, when I say ours, I'm being general, but the NPC's perception has been altered. They cannot rationalize with this, they can still think that global climate warming change is really happening, even though they're being lied to. And these people, I can't even call them clever.
Just out of interest, who are we explaining that to?
I would explain it to somebody who's... I'll come to that, actually, because we'll talk about waking up.
No, somebody who's
actually waking up.
All right, okay. I was saying it for my own amusement.
Someone who's waking up, who's at the early stages of realising that what we've lived through our lives is actually a lie. The whole thing is
Do you know something I was thinking today, Fire? I was at work today and I was thinking, we talk about predictive programming like everybody does, but they've made it really obvious. It's in everything. Like even that, I was on about that Star Wars thing, it's in that.
Yeah.
You've got the Empire, the Star Wars Empire, and then you've got the rebellion.
Is it obvious, Chris, or is it that we've moved on from 2020 so far that it's now, to us, our senses have opened up that much and people like us who are listening have opened up that much that it's blatantly obvious to us.
Well,
but the people at stage, I call it stage one of waking up, right? Hmm. Or even pre-waking up, where they're just getting inklings of something's not quite right. It's not quite as obvious to them.
What my point is, I think it is definitely done on purpose. That they, even about that stupid Star Wars show that I've been watching, right? They're pointing out the Empire rises, right? And it's the Empire, and it's a dictatorship, and all that stuff. And this is a rebellion. So they're showing it to you in a Disney TV show.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're the Empire that are rising. These are evil bastards, all organized and really. The Empire are like a hashtag of different folks. You've almost got aristocracy and the working class people, but they're the rebellion, and it's showing you exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
I believe
right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's
Lord of the Rings is similar, isn't it? Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, what, the Eye of Sauron?
Game of Thrones.
What are you on about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That big red eye looking over the whole tower.
But going back to the wake-up stages, Mark Devlin had a fantastic guest. I forget his name now. The last one he's done, the last podcast.
Yeah, listen to that.
Yeah, I think he was psychologically trained or a psychologist. I think he was a psychologist, so sorry if I got that wrong. And he were talking, and I'll cut it short, they were talking about how do we wake normies up, or does Mark... We're calling them bewilderbeasts. I like that one. Wish I'd come up with that myself. How do we wake bewilderbeasts up? And this guy said, well, the problem is we come at it from the wrong direction. Hmm. And he said, if you imagine being in a hotel and every floor you rise up, it's your new learning, it's your learning path, and you end up on the penthouse. Yeah. God knows where we are. I'm not saying I'm on the penthouse. And you look out your balcony and you look down and you see somebody walking into the lobby and you shout, oi, come straight up here because I've got loads of information for you. They can't handle that information. It's just too terrifying. And so you've got to go back down into the lobby and tell them the easy stuff type of thing. And that's right. And for a long time, I've spoke about being turning into an evangelist and he's shouting on your soapbox, trying to force people to believe in what you believe in. And we'll come to the words in a bit, but people wake up in stages. there's the pre-working up where you start to know there's some inklings that ain't quite right, don't you, in life?
Without any disrespect for it, even when I'm talking about that UK column, that woman who's been vaccine damaged and she's going through all this stuff to try and get a point across to Parliament and MPs and all this stuff. Without being rude to her, she still thinks that someone will be on her side. Yeah. And so in my mind, and like I said, I'm not poo-pooing anything she's doing or saying, but I don't think she realises that it was all a plan from day one.
The enormity. Yeah.
Yeah, the enormity of it. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. She didn't realise that it's the system that's screwing and not the individuals.
Yeah. And it was
because when these individuals are gone, the system will still be there screwing people. Mm. The Tories, the Labour, the Liberal, who gives a shit about them? They don't care about them. They're just they're actors. That's why they act on our behalf. But we'll come to that as well. That's why this is called actors. This episode's called Actors Wear Masks and Use Spells Called Scripts. That is a mouthful. I'm trying hard to get that into a short a bit, but I couldn't. But the reason is that people do wake up in different stages, and everyone who's listening will know that. When you wake up, it's like the guy on there, and I've been saying this for a while, it was good to hear it, it's like a bereavement. Because when you wake up and you realise that you've been smacked around the face with a wet fish, it's like you've lost something, and you have. You've lost what you thought were reality and realise it's an illusion.
Mm. It's a penny dropping. You don't really want that penny to drop, do you?
No. No. And it's something that you can't force not to drop, and you can't force it to drop. It's something that happens, and once it drops, there's no going back, as people know who's listened to this, and unless you've gone through that that epiphany, there is no way that you can ever translate that to somebody who hasn't been through it. Once you see that illusion, that's it, it's gone. It's like seeing a magician's trick and knowing how he does it. There is no going back to that. And going back to that lady there that you were talking about who's been damaged, what she didn't realise is that this is intergenerational planning on a scale that is unimaginable to any normie, whatever we want to call them, even just being disparaging. Even to us, when we were looking at all this stuff, it is enormous. It encompasses every single thing that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And once you see that octopus and its tentacles,
like we've discovered, politicians, filmmakers, actors, authors, even fucking comic book writers, for crying out loud. Do you know what I mean? It goes. Yeah. I mean, you see it in kids. You see it in kids' cartoons. You know, and I'm not on about Disney ones. I'm on about ones you see on normal TV,
CBBC or whatever.
Wherever.
Fireman Sam and all this other stuff.
It's all there. Every single thing has been compromised.
Well, even the basics of Fireman Sam. It's getting you to believe in an institution. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with firemen. They do a fantastic job. But the institution, ambulance, NHS, firemen, police, is also at times used against us. Mm.
Well, Peppa Pig, the dad's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that a lot where a lot of these programs... The
dad's an idiot.
Adult male is an idiot.
An idiot, yeah.
Whether it's Simpsons, whether
Simpsons,
it's what's the other one?
Family Guy.
Family Guy, yeah, yeah.
The dad's always an idiot. What's even more famous? Well, the recent version of famous animation, Rick and Morty. The dad's an idiot,
right? Yeah.
His missus is a doctor or a vet, I think.
But the strange thing is, I think Al Gore's really good friends with. Is it Matt Gourin?
Oh, really? What? From Simpsons fame?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised at all these people. I mean, he's appeared on Simpsons. He's done... He's an actor. Another actor. But yeah, this planning by these institutions, like the United Nations or World Health Organization, which is part of the United Nations, if you look at the United Nations, that's really a world government. Hmm. It's got all the flags there at the head office. It controls all these entities underneath it, like the World Bank, like the World Health Organization. They've got everything in our lives covered, and we have got no say on that. That no reminds me of
they're
that.
They're not voted in. They're just
not
there.
Voted in. Yeah. That reminds me of, you know, when all the leaders go to on Star Wars.
Mm. And they're all sat down. They're on those little pods.
And then floating things. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the UN reminds me of.
Where's fucking Yoda? And also, I always think that he's called UN, like un.
Yeah.
Like not.
Unhealthy. Unhuman.
UN women. UN this. Yeah. UN that. Un this. Un that. Everything's un. Anyway.
Yeah. United Nations, which again, as we know, they call it United Nations, but they're not really United Nations. What World Bank does is inject money into poor countries that have been made poor by the same countries that are saying they're going to save them.
But like we said before, the UN, if it was all for good reasons, would be fantastic. If all this stuff, World Health Organization, UN, everything, even the New World Order, right? If it was all done for our benefit, it would be fantastic. It could be beautiful, couldn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
If all these people,
but it's not going to be, is it?
Do you know what? You could even convince me, Fat, if it was before the nonsense, actually, going back to maybe 2000, before the Iraq War, you could convince me that people were doing this for the better good, but it's not.
I'm sure some people think they are, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm sure think they are. I mean, if you've got Greta Thunberg, who is part of the UN machine, I suppose, if you get Greta Thunberg to go into... is it Sierra Leone, where our friend Elon Musk has got his cobalt mines? If you imagine, what were that company that owns all them mines? It reminds me of that company that were digging on Avatar. Or get her to go down a mine for a week, work down there with them poor kids that are working for a bowl of rice, while there's that guy sort of at top of them with a Kalashnikov. Get her to try and steal a nugget of cobalt, put it into the back of her ass pocket of her jeans. See what happens to her.
Yeah.
See what happens to her family. You know. And then say, "Well,
that's
digging
all for the better good. It's a better good fact."
Oh yeah, it's all for the better good.
Electric cars.
Electric cars. Stealing a nation's products, resources for nothing is all good. Elon Musk going to save us all though.
Yeah. If you buy an electric car, you can sniff your own farts and they smell like perfume.
Oh, right, that's what it is. Roses. Yep. I thought that were air fresheners.
Yeah, nope. You can fight air fresheners fire if you've got an electric.
But if you think about what's got me onto this, the intergenerational planning, is when you're doing research into certain people, I'll use the Huxleys as a prime example, and you realise that they're all intermarried over and over and over again, and they're academics. These people aren't billionaires in front of her. That we've seen going through like JP Morgan and all these people. These are academics. These are people that are changing, I'll call it the fabric, you know. They're not changing the financial systems or out like that, but they're all eugenicists, all of them. There's a current that runs through these people that they're into eugenics. Yeah. Yeah. So they're intergenerational. They're planning so far ahead. And also, and we'll probably come into this in a bit when we talk
about... But if you are a eugenist, that makes sense that they are... circular,
intergenerational,
because it does. They're not. You can almost imagine in their mind they think they're the good guys because I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about the next generation.
I don't actually think that these people think they're doing anything wrong, Chris. It's that analogy of walking across a field and not worrying about how many beetles you've crushed. You know.
But what I mean is, to have that, they've got to be brought up with no empathy and not thinking that we are humans at all. But like we've seen in this past. Researchers,
yeah,
that's why they're dragged through fucking horrible schools, possibly.
Abused
mentally.
But again, even more than that, Chris. If you think about it, let's just look at some people go to Oxford. I don't know how many thousand people go to Oxford every year. Not all of these people become satanic, horrible, murdering bastards.
No, but I think most of them
go and get a job and they're all right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know. I'm in Cambridge.
Yeah, we do. We know
Cambridge
people
in Oxford,
right?
But what I mean is, maybe the Oxford,
Cambridge... I'm finished. What I'm trying to say is that to follow the bloodline of a certain small number of these people, your Johnsons, your Camerons, etc., into that detail, that all these people become or end up being leaders, prime ministers or whatever, that is some knowledge of their past, isn't it? Somebody has done the homework.
Well, what I was going to say, Fatty, maybe the reason that you have these three elite areas, Cambridge, Eton, and Oxford, is so that they are there and they are concentrated there so that then they can be watched easier. Because if they were spread all over the country, if you had them going to Huddersfield Polytechnic and bloody, you know, Leeds or whatever, or even, you know, if you've got them concentrated into these three areas that everyone's convinced are the best places to go to educate your children, then you can watch them easier, can't you?
Of course you can, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're England and you're going for super higher education, because you want to go into, you know what I mean? He's Eton, Oxford and Cambridge, that's it.
Mm. Yeah, it's... And this isn't, again, we got some grief about from somebody once saying we're talking about class wars. This isn't a class war.
I fucking don't care about class they don't, war. Couldn't give a shit.
I don't care about class. I've never cared about class.
I've met rich folk and poor folk who are arseholes and nice people.
Yes. On an equal amount.
It's like the race conversation, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I've met every race under the sun and some of them.
These are the things that they try and divide us with. And... Yes. It's nonsense, you know. Yeah. Now, the ultimate abuser is what we're seeing. This is abusive behaviour on a scale. Again, that's why people, when they wake up, it's such a big wet fish around the face, because this is the... An abuser will tell you they're going to help you while they're abusing you. Mm. And you will be that confused that you won't understand, because eventually you'll be... sanitized or desensitized and think that that abuse is actual help. I'll run a scenario. I got doctors. I've got something wrong with me. Minor issue, for argument's sake. Digestive issue. He says, oh, take these tablets. Innocently, I take these tablets. Gets rid of my acid. 20 years later, I'm still on these tablets, and if I try coming off them, it makes me feel 10 times worse than that acid did at any point in my life. And that acid, and it causes hundreds of other issues. Now, is that doctor an abuser? No. He doesn't know. However, he's not doing his job well, because he should have known that he shouldn't take these things for 20 years. Mm. Speaking about a mate here.
And someone's making
and it caused him all sorts of other problems. So they've made money out of the drugs and all the other stuff that he's had to go through. However, somebody somewhere knows that them drugs are going to cause a problem.
Well, they know what cycle they're creating.
They know what cycle they're creating. And they also realise that them people probably won't have families, or they'll break up with the families because it'll destroy them. That's part of an obvious eugenics plan, or sort of satanic plan, whatever you want to call it. That's an obvious plan, because that person is not on their own. There might be 20 million around the world in the same, and they'll
the thing we were on about earlier with the jab. That's it times fucking 10, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And this is what this intergenerational eugenics planning is. Why are they all eugenicists if they're not doing eugenics?
So
Julian Huxley was the president of the British eugenics movement.
Yeah.
Aldous Huxley talked about eugenics. Charles Darwin's grandson wrote a book. Something like Life in a Million Years or something like that. How do they know what life... They have a habit, these people, of writing something, and 50 years later it becomes true.
Adolf Hitler was a massive follower of the eugenics, English eugenics movement.
Well, ironically, his hero was an uncle of Aldous Huxley.
Right.
Francis Galton. Sir Francis Galton. No, the bulldog... Thomas Huxley was his great-granddad, or his granddad, yeah?
Right.
And he was related to Galton, or friends of Galton. And Galton was Charles Darwin's cousin.
Yeah.
And he invented the term eugenics.
Right.
Francis Galton.
But I knew that Hitler was a massive admirer of the English eugenics movement. And then you've got Queen Lizard doing the blooming... what is it? Hand-raising Hitler movement.
Yeah.
I mean, that were even in the sun and stuff, wasn't it? In the mirror and stuff.
The kids were doing it.
Yeah.
The kids were doing the whole Zeke Kyle.
They're telling you everything,
Anyway, going back to the abusive behaviour. So going back to those tablets, you've got somebody who's... this person does not know, the doctor, that he's going to ruin somebody's life. I'm sure he didn't go into that job thinking, I'm going to give somebody some drugs and ruin their lives. No. Granted, there'll be some evil bastards out there who probably want to do that, but they went in with the best intentions.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the waking up of a doctor knowing full well of his 200 patients he's been poisoning them for the last 30 years. They're never going to wake up.
Imagine a doctor who's a local doctor and he's given someone the arm spear and they've come back and said, I've been damaged. How does he deal
imagine
with that?
Saying,
he probably denies it. Imagine saying,
yeah, denial is a place in Egypt, a river in Egypt. But imagine having somewhere you know that that was a cause anyway. But as we know, because we're propagandized from an early age, the words that people say are spells. And it's that's imagine having that conversation with again we'll call I don't like normie with a normie that words are spells and words are spells. It's quite easy because you know they think of a witch.
Well, I know. If you said that to someone, there'd just be a slow head shake of what you're talking about.
Yeah, if I say a banana to you, you see a yellow banana. That's a spell. That's what advertising is. That's just advertising, isn't it? Over and over again, repeating it. And the propaganda that we get told is that repetitive
Look at the shit show we've just had for about the jibber jabs. Constant. Remember, it was on TV over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, that, just that, saltier, and then another little back catalogue of, and if you're a denier, you're insane, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was saying to my missus, after listening to that UK column thing, I was saying to my missus, I don't know, it's almost bizarre to think about, isn't it, right? That even before the nonsense, right, anything we ever talked about, we were thought of as nutters, right? Nonsense starts, we're still known as nutters. Me and you discuss the fact that they're going to do some kind of jibber-jab rollout before it's even mentioned on BBC.
Yeah.
Then you can just watch it unraveling, can't it?
Yeah.
Oh, vaccines usually take 10 years to do, but because we've got loads of money and we're going to do it for free,
loads of these experts,
and loads of experts, and because of the, you know, it's so urgent, we're going to ramp. I mean, fucking hell, we just watched it unfold in front of our eyes. I mean, it was unbelievable when you think about it.
Yeah.
Sorry to go on about it again.
Well, but it was unbelievable. Yeah, but we shouldn't forget. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
And like I always say, I came home to my missus and I said, this is it. Everyone's going to fucking see this. We're going to be matching. We're going to be walking down the street saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
And
silence. But that's the power. And then even
power.
After the cheek to make
serious, that is serious power.
A Barbie doll of that of woman.
That fucking novel.
Who's got shares in the company that made that jab, who caused that guy, that woman's fucking brain hemorrhage, right? Doll. Yeah, a Barbie doll. This is the piss take. This is the piss take. And when the abuse of power becomes an overwhelming force, we will not be able to question anything. I mean, in China, if you disagree with the government, you're diagnosed as being a nutter or insane, aren't you? Until you've been rehabilitated.
But it's different in England. It's death by bureaucracy. Like that death woman was saying on UK.
Come
on.
Richard Diol.
It's just constantly fucking trying to get your point across. Over in China, they'll drag you away, put you in a thing, in a gulag-esque kind of thing.
Yeah.
Here, it's just constant paperwork of nothing and nothing and nothing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the difference, isn't it?
The spells, though, Chris, like, and we're going to see it on Sunday with the remembrance stuff. You know,
The what?
Trust. Remembrance Day, aren't we? Poppy Day.
What's that? Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah,
remember trust, that we slaughtered your entire family.
But look at the words that we've got: trust, love, theory. All these words, and more and more and more. Bravery, freedom. All these words that we're given
are empty
shells. No, but they're empty shells for a system, the machine, that the masters of the universe want us to believe in. And I wish I could believe them. I'd have Rocky music on every day. And I'd be G'ing myself up to. But you would, wouldn't you? But we know that is what the abusers want us to do. They want us to believe in these things. And it's interesting when you start looking into depth what believe means And then you translate into what the BBC are using it for.
Well, like you pointed out in the logo, it's got lie right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle, yeah. We live in a belief system. We get told we live in a belief system. Make a believe. You know, you are what you could, if you dream it, you can, you know, the American dream and all this type of stuff. The word believe or belief is used to confuse us all into handing over our human sovereignty to the system. That is what we believe in. We hand his kids over to school. We hand them over to, when his kids over to, and we can't help it. We made that busy, that scared, that we make decisions that we wouldn't make normally, the knee-jerk decisions that then affect us for life. And these words are fundamental to the consent of control the leaders, and I'll use leaders or the parasite, the system, whatever you want, have over us. And belief, I think, is one of the biggest ones, because you hear it a lot. No, I believe that's true. If you listen to what people say, you know, that if you believe something, you're unsure of it. And we live in a belief system. So we live in a...
It's like going in the old days with religion, like blind belief, blind faith. Blind faith in science.
Have faith in us,
Blind faith in government. And blind faith. Why would you have fucking blind faith in anything? So you're basically saying, I have faith in something and you can't even see it. It's like blind faith in the jibber jab.
Like most of these, when you look at the definitions, like belief means to accept that something is true, especially without proof.
Right. And I believe that has it got lie in it as well?
It's got lie in it. Yeah, belief has. Yeah, I've got lie in it. So believe or belief, that's what it means. Or it can also mean to hold something such as an opinion. In the Cambridge Dictionary, believe means to think that something is true, correct, or real. A belief system means a set of principles or tenets, which together form the basis of a religion, a philosophy, or a moral code.
Exactly, that's just what I said. Belief system, belief system. You've got to believe
or
in that.
A belief system is an ideology, which is a set of beliefs or ideas, or a set of principles that help us interpret our everyday reality.
Well, the jibber jab's a belief system, isn't it? You've got to believe in it.
Yeah. The tenets of a democratic society. And a tenet is a principle, or it could be a belief, or a doctrine, generally held to be true. Look at the words, generally. That means might be, could be, should be, whatever. Mm. There's no definite there. Held to be true, especially one held in common by members of an organisation, movement, or a profession.
Mm. Well, but then you go
generally
back to
held to be true.
You go back to that, like I said, that Daily Mail Richard Hall article, and right at the end when it says, you shouldn't be allowed to question history because it might upset someone.
That sums that up, doesn't it? And principle means a fundamental truth or proposition, which is a theory, that serves as a foundation or the foundation for a system of belief or behaviour or a chain of reasoning. So that's a principle. Hmm. So when you say, I've got principles, you look at it and you think, well, it doesn't actually mean... As soon as they put the word believe in it or belief, then it's non-word. Because you don't know. Yeah. As soon as the explanation has believe or belief in it, or might do or could do, or whatever, or a word that actually means might do or could do,
well, then does mean might do or could do.
Yes. The issue is that we're not allowed to know what these doctrines or tenets are. These are like belief contracts. You sign a belief contract, which is like an emotional contract, or a fear contract, or a psychological agreement that you don't know. You enter into, like you said, blind faith.
Blind faith, yeah.
So we live in a belief system in a nanny state. Yeah. I thought, what is a nanny state? And a nanny state is a term of British origin, funnily enough.
It's banded around a lot.
Banded around a lot. That conveys a view that a government or its policies are overprotective. I like that word, overprotective, or interfering unduly with personal choice. The term likens such a government to the role that a nanny has in child rearing. An early use of the term comes from the Conservative MP, Ian McLeod, who referred to what I like to call the nanny state in 1965 edition of The Spectator. So if you think of what nanny is, and you think, you know, what a state is and a belief system, a system's a way of doing things. Belief system is, I don't know, I haven't a clue what it is.
It's funny, even in the European world of Europe, we were considered the nanny state, weren't we, where everything was over, yeah. You know, health and safety, you know.
Yeah.
But then it got...
You can see now why we're brought in all that stuff, wasn't it? Where builders have to have... Yeah, you could put some scaffolding up 30 years ago and just put scaffolding up some ladders and climb up it. Now you've got to have, all right, gates and all. And some of it, you'll say is rational. Then other stuff like, you've got to wear an illuminous yellow jacket.
Yeah. Or you've got to wear gloves when you're putting some fucking flags down, as some builder told me once. But maybe we were made the nanny state and we were probably the ones who took the jib-jab most far.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we took the jib-jab most, but if you wind it back then, so we're sold that we live in a democracy. Yeah, so we live in a democracy.
Democracy.
Yeah, demon-cracy. And I thought, what does democracy mean? And democracy means the belief in freedom and equality between people, or a system of government based on this belief, in which power is either held by an elected representative or directly by the people themselves. Yeah, because that always happens. The government, a sentence that could say, the government has promised to uphold the principles of democracy. So we already know that principles mean some belief system, yeah? And democracy is an explanation or a alternative to freedom. So when they say democracy, people think freedom.
Yeah.
These people fought in this war for freedom. But we live in a democracy. We don't live in freedom.
Yeah.
So what is freedom? You know, these things are the basis of how we're being pushed around, aren't they?
Mm.
And so freedom is the condition or right of being able or allowed to do, say, think, etc., whatever you want, without being controlled or limited. Freedom is understood as either having the ability to act or change without constraint, or to possess the power and resources to fulfill one's purposes unhindered. Freedom is often associated with liberty and autonomy in the sense of giving oneself their own laws, and with having rights and civil liberties with which to exercise them without undue interference from the state. Frequently discussed kinds of political freedom include freedom of assembly, freedom of association, freedom of choice, and freedom of speech.
Yeah,
we haven't got any of them now.
Yeah,
we haven't got any of them now. There's no freedom of assembly. There's no freedom of association. There's no freedom of choice, and there's no freedom of speech. To have freedom of speech, you have got to literally allow people to say what they want to say, whether you agree with it or not.
I like that, though. I'd rather see a racist ranting his racist stuff than him being hidden as some fucking middle class guy who hates me. Do you know what I mean? Just wear it on your sleeve, man. Own it.
Yeah.
I'd rather that, wouldn't you? And same for us pornologists and conspiracy theorists. We wear it on the sleeve and we want to own it. So let us do it. Why not?
Yeah.
If you've got nothing to fear from us, you've got nothing to fear from us.
But they have got a lot to fear from us.
Exactly. Because what us pornologists do is
pull away at the fabric, the thread.
Yeah. Yeah. Dismantle it.
Yes.
But if you've got nothing to hide and everything you say is true, you should have no fear of us pornologists.
No.
There's nothing to be scared of.
Freedom has been exchanged for a belief in freedom called democracy.
Blind belief.
Or the illusion of freedom. Mm. What do you say?
Blind belief, like I said.
Blind belief. And that is where we're at today, because you can't have freedom of assembly. Now, there is a downside to it, because I think we've talked about this with Master Lee, where freedom, unrestrained freedom, is a Satanist dream.
Hmm.
Because that's basically what they've got on us, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because unrestrained freedom means somebody could literally run round Greenock Park with the jockeys off and an axe. Because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to be realistic as well. There are some lunatics out there.
Yeah, but that's where a level of morality comes into it, which is, again, you get taught algebra at school that you've never used since you left school, but you don't get taught about morality. And
I thought that was a Swedish pop band.
there's human rules, isn't there? And we all know them as well. You know them when you're a kid, don't you? You know what's right and wrong. And that's what the law should reflect, the laws of humanity, not the laws of a dictator or some knobhead telling you need to get a jibber jab when, you know what I mean? That's what the law should reflect.
Well, what got me on that? Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I'm going to say, which is, you can do what you want, be free, but don't do anything that hurts another human being. And it does include, unfortunately, driving a car at 1,900, 200 miles an hour. Otherwise, you've got mayhem. You know, those rules need to exist. When they're bringing rules out that you can't, that what you say might hurt someone.
That's the grey area, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you lose proper freedom, as soon as the first law comes in, you haven't got freedom anymore.
Yeah.
You've got a variant of freedom.
How do you...
I'm not saying I've got the answer, but it's a variant of freedom, yeah?
These are things that should be discussed on a daily basis on
but
the
that
TV.
Is how...
Instead of Albert Kardashian's asses and whether fucking Matt Wancock's going into fucking I'm a twat, get me out of here. These are the things that should be discussed all the time.
That is why, though, they get away with these things. Because
imagine that world where
they don't
TV,
discuss these things.
They're discussing with the populace, you know, should this be a law? Should we be going 60 or 70 miles an hour?
I think everybody agrees with a lot of the driving things.
Just focusing on driving.
I'm using that as an example, but what I'm trying to say is...
Should we go and carpet bomb Iraq, right?
Yeah,
that should be put out to the fucking populace.
What I'm trying to say there is...
Fucking...
I think most people...
Vampire rat
accept,
bastard Blair.
I think most people accept that there should be some constraints, for argument's sake, as in speeding or bombing Iraq. However, the issue is, that is the grey area, though, isn't it? The grey area is... that they can make the story sound how they want to. And also, they can manipulate it by doing the nudge bit. Yeah, it's 70 mile an hour motorway. Oh, climate change, right? You can't drive your car now over 30 mile an hour. What I'm trying to say is they can come up and manipulate it and squeeze it over a certain number of years and call it freedom still. Mm. Yeah? But it's freedom at a certain price.
Yeah.
And also to... We'll finish on this. We're up to an hour and 12 for the first part, but we'll finish on this. What I wanted to talk about, what got me into all this stuff that we've been discussing tonight, is that Richard Dayall thing of how we're all manipulated or attempted to be manipulated. We're all manipulated, whether we like it or not. We might not think we are, but we all are at some points. Yeah. And these presenters, entertainers, authors, TV companies, radio companies, film corporations, politicians, business people like Elon Musk and Gates and all these other clowns, they're all controlled entities. All of them are actors. We've heard it say, actors on the world stage. And they sell spells called scripts, and also known as narratives or screenplays or plans. You know, it's the same thing. They might not know it, you know, but these actors are participants in an action or the process. They're part of it, whether they like it or not. Them journalists that are writing stuff, they're all part of it. MPs act on our behalf. And MPs lie. We've just talked about Johnson and Wancock and all these other people that have been caught lying.
They're pretending on your behalf.
But they stay in power. Matt Wancock, for lying, has been given £400,000 to go into I'm a twat, get me out of here.
Mm.
That's how they get by. That's how they get promoted. Like we said, that could be like Blair getting knighted, you know?
Has he
don't know anybody who likes it.
Has he gone into twat, get me out of here? Is he massaging his own ego? Or has someone told him to go in there?
It sort of doesn't really matter which way. He's been allowed to go in. Because let me tell you, if he wanted to go in and somebody said he can't go in, then he wouldn't have gone in.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously a big player to go in. For that, I don't know how much they get paid to go in there. But, I mean, he's launching a book, yeah, about how he's saved Britain during the lot. Yeah. And I looked into the woman who he'd wrote it with, and she's part of the same company, or she's a writer with Baron Ashcroft, who wrote Slumdog's book.
Right.
So they're all pissing in the same pot. And they're all actors. And as we know, the word actor comes from the word hypocrite, which came from English, into English from the Greek word hypocrite, which means an actor or a stage player. The word itself is made up from two Greek words that literally translate to an interpreter from underneath. It makes more sense when you see that the actors in ancient Greek theatre wore large masks, hence the title, to mark their character they were playing.
Yeah.
And so they interpreted the story from underneath their masks. They're basically hypocrisy. They're basically lying, aren't they? And I'll read this bit here. This is something that I just copied and pasted. Hypocrisy is the practice of engaging in the same behaviour or activity for which one criticises another, or the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behaviour does not conform. In moral psychology, it is a failure to follow one's own expressed moral rules and principles. American political journalist Michael Gerson, this is from Wikipedia, says that political hypocrisy is the conscious use of a mask to fool the public and gain political benefit. I mean, it could go deeper than that. And in the second hour, we're going to be covering the BBC and the disinformation expert, also known as counterintelligence agents. We're also going to look at Helena Bonham Carter, her bloodlines. And also we're going to look at 1984 with George Orwell and Zbigniew Brzezinski, I think he was called, as well. We'll do a bit on him for the second hour, like Chris says, as you do. But I think the first hour is going up to an hour and 20 minutes, so it's time for a toilet break and a drink. And if you want to join us in the next hour, feel free to. And if not, we'll see you next time on Sheep Farm and Mint Sauce Chronicles, when we'll be back a week on Saturday. See you soon. Bye.
Farewell. Bye.